Something that I was confronted with, oh, I don't know, 5, 10 years ago, was this concept of, am I true all the way through? Am I honest with people? Am I sincere, a man of integrity in all ways and aspects? And am I real? What really got me thinking about that is something that happens to us every single day, and that is those small exchanges that we have with other people. As we're walking by, we say what? Hey, how you doing? What's up? Right? Now, notice their questions. How are you doing? Question. Now, normally questions demand an answer, right? Now, what's interesting is what happens is, hey, how you doing? And by the time you turn to answer, they're already, you know, or it's like this. We've developed in our culture this aspect of, I recognize you're there, but I'm going to keep on moving. So a little ways back, I've tried and purposed in my heart to just be honest with that question, to be real, because how often do we say, good, I'm fine, right? We do that. Now here's the tough one. How often are we really good? Are we really fine? How often do we say, I'm fine, when our hearts are being ripped apart? Or we physically don't feel well? Or we're heading to something that we know we don't want to be there? Today we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about speaking truth. We're going to talk about how speaking truth not only can minister in the lives of others encouragement and edification, but can also be used to convict and to bring people to new life. Truth. Look in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read the context just so that we have in our heads what Paul is saying, and we're going to look specifically at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 20. I want you to follow along, and I want you to make specific note as we follow along in this, as you follow along. I want you to make specific note of truth and anything that has to do with falsehood, lying, deception, any of that kind of idea. I want you to pay specific note to that. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right. Now we're not going to cover all of that today. We're going to look specifically at verse 25. But I read the entirety of that passage because I want you to see the vein in which Paul's following here of it's putting off the old man, which is corrupt, or being corrupted according to the deceitfulness, the lust of deceitfulness. And we talked about that last week. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice verse 21 talked about truth, didn't it? Verse 21 says, as the truth is in Jesus. Then verse 22 talked about deceit, the lusts of deceitfulness. Verse 24 talked about and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Then we come to verse 25, and it says, wherefore, basically, because of what I've just said about putting off, be renewed in your mind, and put on, and based upon all the doctrine that we have learned in chapters 1, 2, and 3 about our salvation and blessings that we have in Christ, and about God's design of the church, therefore, put away lying. Now, this is an aorist verb, which has the idea this has happened in one point in time. So it could be translated as a past tense. And having put away from yourself lying, speak truth. Now I want to make you aware of something. I believe Paul is making an assumption here that if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, then this is something you should want to do. This should be a part of your life. This idea of putting off the old man, it shouldn't be a surprise to us. It shouldn't be this incredible, oh, I have to do that. No, it should be, oh, yes, I need to do this. This is a part of who I am. I am not part of the old man. I don't want to live in the old man. I am new. And as God brings and reveals the old man, it should be put off. Set apart from us. Wherefore, put away lying. Now, I looked at in the original, as I looked at that, it could also be said, wherefore, put away the lie. The lie could be a literal translation of that. Put away the lie. Now, as we think about the lie, as you think about what might that be referring to? Immediately will come to mind who? The devil. Satan. Our adversary. I did a little word study on this word lying or lie. And I want you to listen to what it's used, how it's used in the New Testament. This word, this term, lying or the lie, is used to describe the devil's speech. In John 8:44, let me read that for you. John 8:44. We'll turn to several passages today. I think that's all right. John 8:44 says this, and you are of your father, the devil. Now he's speaking to Jewish religious leaders, and he's having they're confronting him, and he is speaking about who they really are. And he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So this term is used to speak of the devil's speech. Not only that, it's used to describe the twisted thinking of those who reject God and worship themselves. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, if you're familiar at all with Romans chapter 1, you know that in this passage it speaks of God's revelation of himself through nature and through the world, and how mankind is responsible because they know and they see the glory of God as God has made it manifest. But in this passage, you understand that God has a wrath against sin. He's angered against sin. But take a look at verse 23 as Paul is speaking of these people that know not God. He says in verse 23, they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a what? Into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know what this term, this lie, this is used to speak of the twisted thinking of those who are rejecting God and are worshiping themselves. This term is also used to speak of the working of Satan as seen in the Antichrist. Now, are you catching a hold of how this term is used? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll just read these for you. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This term is also used to describe something that is simply not of the truth. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Fascinating passage as you think about the differences between truth and falsehood. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and yet as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have this unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Quite simply, this term is used to describe those things that are not of the truth. This term is also used in the same passage to describe that which is not the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, the same passage, 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. It's also used to describe the actions of one not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Revelation chapter 21:27. Did you hear what I just said? This term is used to describe the actions of one not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that it defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in Revelation 22:15, talking about that glorious New Jerusalem, this term is used to describe one of the qualities of a person who will be unable to enter the gate of the New Jerusalem. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, why do I go through all of that? Why do I share with you these different uses of this term? It's because I want to emphasize to you the importance of the truth. I want us to be able to have this idea, this contrast. I want you to see the black and the white. I want you to understand that as the church, as the body of Christ, we have been called to not only live in the truth and walk in the truth, but to speak the truth. And I'm not just talking simply about just saying words. I'm talking about speaking the truth that is in Jesus. That words that come out of our mouth are those that would be descriptive of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words that would describe his kind of speech and his kind of language. And in this passage, you also see how it is important that we minister words of grace and build up with our words. Wherefore, put away from you the lie. Put away from you all those things that have to do with falsehood and deceit, those things that are of the devil, those things that are of one who is not a part of God's heaven. Put them away. You know, it's you might say that, Pastor, we know that. We know we're supposed to speak the truth. We know we're supposed to be honest. I mean, we've been going to church for most of our lives, some of you may say. Well, you'd be amazed. It is interesting to me. As I have had opportunity to sit with folks and to counsel with them, it is interesting when you get people that are in problems, when there's conflicts, it's amazing how you start to get two different stories. It's amazing as you begin to see people struggle and they encounter challenges in their lives and their speech begins to be such, come out in such a way that it makes their life a little bit easier. Listen, this verse is very powerful because it emphasizes this one thing, and I hope you see this. We're all members one of another. Did you see that? I mean, Paul gives us a pretty good reason here. I mean, not just because that's not the way you've learned Christ, all right? But notice at the end of that verse 25, back in Ephesians 4:25, notice at the end of that verse, it says, "For we are members one of another." Now, if you've been with us through our study of the book of Ephesians, this really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because we've been studying the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians has a lot to say about the body of Christ, about how God built that body, and we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're his body. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about if lying and deceit were existing in the body. What does that do? What does that bring to the body? Does it bring any good, anything positive? I mean, it's as silly as this, and it's not really silly, but just illustration-wise, you know, my eye could tell my hand that that stove is not hot. There's no fire there. It's okay to touch. When indeed it's there, and it is hot. But my hand touches, and I get burned. I mean, that's just a very elementary picture. But again, I don't think it's out of line because God uses the body to illustrate the church, who we are. And so therefore, Paul wants us to recognize the things that just don't belong here. Just shouldn't be a part. It just doesn't match up with who we've been called to be. And again, let me remind you, what does 4:1 say? Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Look at verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." You know, church, listen, we have to be a people of truth. This passage, it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." You know, one of the questions that you might ask is, well, who is my neighbor? some people could get that ridiculous. Some people could try to wiggle their way into a place where it's okay to lie here, but not here. Listen, you carry the name of Christ. Be a man or woman of the truth. Jesus answered that question anyway. Remember the story he told? He had a man ask him, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told what story? What story, class? The Good Samaritan, right? He told the Good Samaritan. You know, the neighbor is the one who is near, the one who is near with whom you can have influence. Whether you purposefully try to have influence or not, you have influence. That's your neighbor. So we're to speak truth. Now, I'm going to emphasize something else here. This verb, speak truth. Speak is an imperative. It's a command. We've got 11 of them coming up, so just be ready, all right? These are imperatives. These are commands. These come across with the force of, you are to be doing this. They're present imperatives. Be doing this. Be one who is speaking the truth. And we are to be doing it with your neighbor, for we are members one of another. So, what's at stake here? What is at stake? He gives us the reason. It has to do with Christ's body. It has to do with Christ's body. So, in closing, I want to give us these applications. Instead of focusing our entire time on lying and falsehood, I believe we need to recognize and understand the importance of the truth. I want you to know that if you are seeking to know what is truth, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of that truth. He is truth. And everything about him and who he is and what he says, that is the truth. So as you consider what is truth in your life and what should be coming out of your mouth, those things that coming out of your mouth should be in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that really covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? It covers a lot of territory. We know the dangers of the mouth and the tongue, don't we? The power that it can exert, how it can hurt, and James chapter 3 goes into great detail on that. We need to be people speaking the truth. Now, two applications. We need to be people that speak honest exhortations. Honest exhortations. Why such a focus on truth? Well, listen, truth can be used to help encourage, to exhort, to edify, to correct, to convict. Let me tell you a little bit about that. As a church, we have relationships. We're in fellowship with one another. There's lots of people here, right? We're not just by ourselves. And so therefore, it demands an interaction. And the scriptures have called upon us to fellowship with one another, to love one another. And you know what it also says? It tells us that we are to correct one another, admonish one another, warn one another, exhort one another, edify one another. And I want to emphasize something to you. In order to accomplish those things and to do them well, they need to be done with truth. I want to tell you something. That's hard sometimes. Have you ever had a Christian brother or sister that has done something that is not right, and you've had to go and confront them on that? Is that easy? Is it fun? No. It sure would be a lot easier to just turn your head away from it, act like it never happened, disregard it. But what's the truth? The truth is that we have been called by God to love our brother and to speak truth into their lives. And so therefore we call sin sin. And we love people to restore them. The Bible gives us the parameters and helps us with all of that. And and several other passages, but you know what? We've got to be speakers of the truth. I hope you understand something. The church is strengthened, not weakened, by that kind of life, by that kind of speech. We need one another to look each other in the eye and say, listen, you're out of line. And I'm not saying we do it in a public manner and embarrass people. I'm telling you, you can pull someone aside and you say, listen, I love you and I want to encourage and help you. What you just did or what you just said was not of God. And we can do those things and love one another to the truth by speaking the truth. But we've got to speak truth. You know, I listened to, I think I read this, that very respected pastor of our day. It was a very, very large church, and he was asked one of the keys to the church and its growth. You want to know what it was? It's church discipline. Church discipline. You know what that is? That's speaking the truth into people that are going astray. That's saving marriages because truth, because pastors and leadership and beloved brothers and sisters in Christ are willing to look someone in the eye and say, you're out of line. You're out of line. You know what? When you speak the truth, the lie becomes visible. When you speak the truth, when the truth is there, it illuminates the lie. That's why the world doesn't like it when we walk in. Because we are to be examples of the truth, and the example of the truth sheds light on the dark things they're doing. The contrast is seen. Honest exhortations. You let honest exhortations come out of your mouth. And pray to God that you would have the courage to speak that truth. What else? Humble evaluations. Honest exhortations and humble evaluations. Again, Paul's focus in this verse is the body. We are members one of another. So here's the point. And this goes back to how we began. How are you doing? How are you doing? You be one who's willing to tell the truth. You be willing to say, listen, my wife is sick today, and I'm just a little bit harried. This morning was kind of crazy. I didn't have my normal routine, so I'm a little out of sorts today. What advantage does that bring to the body? I told that to someone down in the parking lot today. What advantage does that bring? Here's what it does. It opens up the door to say, you know what? Pastor's not all there today. He needs me to pray for him. He could use some encouragement. He could use someone to help him with his child. You know? And in that, ministry happens. Ministry happens. Now, can it still happen? Sure. People could guess and realize that and see that pastor's a little off. Sure. But why not just talk about it? We're a church. Come on. We're the part of the same body. And you and I have got to be humble and give honest, humble evaluations about what's going on in our lives. And I'm not talking about bearing your dirty laundry, you know, everything out there so everybody knows. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying just be truthful and have honest, just humble. This is who I am. This is what's going on. If you're doing well, then say I'm doing well because of the grace of God. If things aren't well, pull that person aside and I say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm having a difficult... My husband and I had an argument this morning. It was a rough ride to church this morning. Now, granted, you got to be able to trust the person with this. Oh, there again, we're a church. We've got to work on this, because this is the kind of environment we need to have. We're not islands just in ourselves. The body is a body. And remember that verse in just a few verses prior to where we're at. It's fitly joined together. We're all joined together. We're all stuck together, guys. You know? And we need to operate that way. And the environment is truth. That's what governs. That's what should govern this, truth. So honest exhortations, humble evaluations. Are you one who speaks truth? Are you a speaker of the truth? Lord Jesus, I pray that what we've talked about today, I pray that it would be useful. Lord, take and use it as you see fit. I know, Lord, there are so many other things that can be said about this, but God, this is your message, and I pray that you would use it in the hearts and lives of your people. I pray that we as a church would be knit together and that we would be truth speakers. I pray that lying, the lie, everything that has to do with that would be put aside, put away from us, far away from us. God, I offer this up to you. This is my humble offering this morning of worship. You are great and honorable, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.